Ali, it seemed, especially at the beginning of the third quarter, you were making that conscious effort to get the ball in the post, make the big plays on defense. Just know you've been doing that a lot, but was that your determination going and saying, okay, I'm going to take this over right now?
I just wanted to be physical, be that post presence. And defensively, I just try to make it hard on Dulcie. I mean, she's a great post player, very physical, so I just wanted to make my presence known on both offense and defense.
Pete?
For both Kiera and Aaliyah, what was going on in the first quarter, and how did you guys change things around and start to take over like you usually do the rest of the way?
Kiera, you want to take that first?
Yep, I think it was a very physical game to start off with, and we adjusted to that, I feel like, coming out in the third quarter very well, and we just did what we do. We played extremely good defense and rebounded well, and everyone was touching the ball.
Aaliyah?
Yeah, and at halftime, Coach just said that we're playing pretty good basketball. Defensively, just pay attention to the details a little bit more when it comes to their staggers, because, you know, they set a lot of staggers in their motion and just being disciplined in that, and I think we did a better job and got out in transition.
Question for Emily there in the middle.
Aaliyah, do you, now looking back, have a favorite memory or moment from your time playing at CLA? I know there's been a lot of games here, but is there something that stands out to you now looking back?
I definitely say UConn, our freshman year, and we beat them here. That was just unreal. And then when we beat Stanford here as well, because we were down at halftime, and then we came out, went on this big run, and the crowd was into it, and those were pretty fun.
Way in the back to Rick on the right side.
This is for both of you. How energizing is it to the entire team when you block a shot, you knock it into the stands, or better yet, when you're able to grab it and go right down court and turn the let your defense turn into instant points?
Kira, you want to take that first?
Definitely. It's super energizing. You know, I know that we have the best shot blockers in the nation, and they just make plays all the time, bailing us out, the guards a lot, me especially. And especially when they're able to keep the ball in play and we're able to just give back to them on the other end, it's super energizing.
Yeah, we feed off of that. V did it today. She had a good block, kept it in bounds, and Key went down and got an and one, and the crowd went crazy, and everybody just continued to feed off that energy. And so we love it.
Alan, do you have a question?
Yes, sir. Sticking with that and one for Key, you saw you kind of let out a bit of a scream there. That was kind of a big moment early. What was kind of going on there, and how much did that kind of get your offense going in the middle of kind of a tough first quarter?
You know, I try to keep my composure most of the time, but that was just, I feel like it was a big play, an energizing play, so sometimes I just have to let out a little bit of emotion. It was fun.
Let's go back up here in front to Pete.
Aaliyah, where do you find that drive to play defense as hard as you do? You hit the floor a couple of times. You went over, double-teamed on the sideline to force that turnover. That's not something everybody does in this game. Where do you find that drive to keep on going from?
Just because I know my teammates are giving me their all, and so I just need to be able to do the same. I think I've always had that energy when it comes to defense and just since I was younger. And so I think I just keep it going now that I'm at the college level.
Chris?
For both of you, I wanted to ask, when Olivia hit her three at the end of the game, a lot of excitement. Just tell me about what that was like.
Aaliyah, you want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, Liv comes in every single day, and she gives it her all. And so when she gets in, and we know that she's the best shooter, and so she just lets it fly, and we just have a lot of energy because each day we come into practice, get in the gym, Liv gives us the same type of energy.
Kira?
Yeah, I'm just to piggyback off that, Liv is a tremendous, tremendous teammate, you know, and every time she steps on the floor, after she gets past half court, I think it's going to go in, and it's just so nice to see her be able to come in and hit her shots and just seeing how much energy she brings everybody because she gives that to us every single day.
Yeah, Dick Cox back there.
Aaliyah, you may have already answered this question, though, but today was a very, very physical game. It's basically basket brawl. Would you rather play in a game like that where they're not calling the little touch fouls, or do you like to get in there and mix it up like today?
Oh, I got to be careful. I like a little bit of the physicality. I think today was pretty good. I think both teams fought through it today and tried to get to their spots, tried to knock down their tough shots.
Let's go over to Matt.
This is for Aaliyah. Sorry if this has already been asked. We were in the open locker room. But the class of 2019, you guys lost one game in your career at Colonial Life Arena. I asked the other ones if they remembered the one game.
And sure do.
Well, not all of them did.
I
so
sure do. NC State.
What did you guys learn from that game? And
who didn't remember? Please don't tell me Zion.
Don't answer that question, please.
Please don't tell me Zion.
Don't answer that.
Zion. For sure.
But what is it about this place that has become so hard for other teams to win?
I think just the energy that's formed every time you step on the floor. The fans, they show up and they show out. We hear them every single possession. And I think we feed off that energy a lot. And so it makes it hard for other teams. I mean, sometimes they can't hear their play calls. We can't hear ours. But, I mean, it's just really good.
Any other questions for the student athletes? Jeremiah.
For both of you guys, in the locker room, some of the rest of the players were saying that this being the last home game wasn't like a point of emphasis or a main talking point. How do you guys kind of, find a way to, compartmentalize, just kind of, taking care of the task at hand, knowing that, at the same time, obviously it is the last game in Columbia.
Aaliyah, you want to take that first?
Yeah, I just think we've gotten pretty good at just compartmentalizing. I think that part of it comes from coach, just understanding that when you're on the floor, that's what you're worried about, then you step off the floor. And I think that's what we did today. During the game, we didn't really talk about it, or even before, but then after the game, we were like, guys, that was just our last game at the CLA as a group. So just understand that we need to complete the task at hand.
Kira?
Yeah, just what Aaliyah said, I think she said it perfectly. And I also think that we just do a very good job of keeping the main thing the main thing. We focus on one game at a time, and we don't look ahead against anyone, and we just try to stay in the moment.
We got one last question there. Gentleman, jacket. Yep.
For Aaliyah, I saw you left the game there in the third quarter. I was wondering what that injury was and if you're feeling good now.
Yeah,
saw you came back in.
I think I just like attention a little bit. I'm all
good. Any other questions for the student athletes? All right, you guys can go. Thank you.
I wasn't expecting that one. That was a good one. That was a good one.
Thank you.
And we'll take questions now for Coach Staley. We got David in the front with the first one.
Don, you've obviously seen Aaliyah have a lot of takeover performances. Was there a message at halftime going into the third quarter? Does she ever the type to say, hey, give me the ball in the third quarter? Does she ever demand things like that in a halftime locker room?
Never, never. I mean, I think, we've always been to establish ourselves inside out. And I don't think we give her the ball enough. So I think sometimes we just have to be intentional about making sure she touches it, making sure that we're playing through her. We know she's not going to make a bad decision. Like, she's not. She always finds a way to make the right basketball decision, even just, at her expense. Because I think sometimes she should force it a little bit more and just be a little bit more selfish and patient to get a shot up at the basket, because a lot of times she'll make it. So we were just intentional about getting her the ball.
Alan?
You've talked a lot this year about how defense travels more than anything else. How much of a crutch is that, or something you can rely on even in a game like today where the offense maybe didn't get going for the first half?
I mean, that's our staple. That is something that we definitely have to do, because we don't know. I mean, we shot 42%. We shot 35% in the first quarter, 42% in the second, 32% in the third. Like, it's hard to win basketball games shooting at that clip if you don't allow people to score. You got a shot. You got a real good shot at still winning a basketball game.
Go to Pete, then Emily.
Dawn, has this season been kind of a different challenge in the sense that you let your older players kind of, hey, we know we're not playing well, so we'll work it out. We'll figure it out. We know what we can rely on. How do you keep everybody calm and steady when things aren't going the right way?
It's more of a feel. I think they know. Like, they are very aware of when things aren't going well. And I do think sometimes You know, as coaches, we just have to remind them, you know. I mean, and sometimes knowing it and hearing it, you know, we'll make the connection of we have to do something and not panic. It's not really a panicky type team. They've never been that way. And maybe because of the leaders that they had prior to them growing up and then who they are, you know, as they're very confident in themselves because of the experience and the minutes that we log playing together.
Emily.
Could you tell us a little bit about your Chaney jersey that you're wearing today, just where you got that and, you know, why you decided to rep them today?
I just got this jersey. Somebody texted me and said they wanted to send. One of my friends texted me and asked me if I wanted a jersey. They didn't really ask me to wear the jersey. And I was, of course. I mean, I like the jersey. I like what it stands for. I like that it's a Coach Stringer who just had her a birthday on March 17th. Yolanda Laney, she's from Philly, grew up, you know, she actually started leagues for us. Like when I was younger, we played in something called the DBL, and she was very much a part of creating that league to give younger players an opportunity to just come together and play in the summertime. So fond memories of that. I mean, Cheney State was the only HBCU to make it to a Final Four, and for them to be led by Coach Stringer, who opened doors that now I walk through. I mean, it was a truly honor to wear this jersey and to represent them.
Go on, Matt, then Rick.
Don, we spoke of the 2019 class's amazing record here at home. When you think of that record, the fan base, the attendance, has this become the hardest arena to win at in the game? For road opponents, that is.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know that because we've always won. So, but I mean, it's what our fans created. Yes, I do think it's a very hard place to win because, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. They've created it. They show their appreciation by coming here every season after season, not knowing whether or not we're going to win or not, but they're going to do their part. They've done it not just for, you know, the past 4 years. They've done it. I don't even know what's our record over the past 8 years.
Overall?
Eight. Well, we've only lost a couple games in here. UConn's one of them. I can remember.
It's
Tennessee.
The last 4 years.
Huh?
Yeah,
so that's 4 years. But even prior to them coming, you know, this was a hard place to play once we started, you know, getting five-digit numbers in here. So it was, you know, it is a very hard place to get a win.
Rick.
Don, you had a 12-0 run there in the second half. The first basket was scored by Bree Bill, then it was Breezy and L.A. with the next 10 points. What is it about their makeup that allows them, especially when you really need a push where they can come in and be that difference maker for you?
Yeah, I mean, they are. I mean, I know they don't get as much of the attention as some of our other players, but I mean, they are highly competitive, and they just have to play a different role for us. But when it's time to shine, they come through. I thought Breezy played an awesome game today. I thought L.A. was the energy that we needed off the bench at different times, and it's awesome to see them actually play well, get the publicity and the recognition that they deserve. But when you have, you know, the three players that you just mentioned coming off your bench, you know that your future's bright.
Chess.
Hey, Don, I'm curious, now that the dust is kind of settling, is there a favorite memory you had with particularly the Freshies group here in CLA that comes to mind?
I think the UConn win, something that we hadn't done before, is probably the fondest memory, and because it was our first one, and then because it allowed us to, you know, open the door that to no one that comes in here will get a win on this particular group. So that's pretty cool.
Let's go right there.
Don, how much of an emphasis was it to attack Dulcie early, and then how important was it to kind of limit her production?
It was intentional to go at her pretty early. I mean, she played with two fouls for 20 minutes, like, and we were still trying to pick that third one up. But I don't think the fouls had any impact on the game and the way that she plays, because she was able to stay on the floor. I just thought that just player after player after player just throwing different bodies at her really just allowed us to create an advantage there. You know, but Elena, I don't want to mess up her last name. I mean, she had hers and Dulcie's, you know, so you have to stop somebody. So I thought us, you know, not allowing Dulcie to get off really played big dividends for us.
Jeremiah?
Don, obviously, Zaya in the, you know, first half kind of had a difficult shooting, but then the third quarter kind of went on a little bit of a personal run. We know her mindset is to kind of stay aggressive, but what do you think was kind of working for her in that third quarter?
I mean, Zaya wants to win like you wouldn't believe. So it works, you know, against her at times, and then it works for her. Like, it worked against her, you know, the first two quarters, and then the third quarter, I just thought she exploded and just got some shots to go in. And I mean, we're gonna live and die with it. That's what we've done. And more times than not, we still come out on the winning side of the ball. But the most impressive thing about Zaya today was her defense, her ability to just stay in plays and the want to win. I mean, she's got some crucial steals, just staying in play. So I know she's probably exhausted right now for, you know, having to chase Elena all around the court, and, you know, Zaya's going to get some shots up. So she exhausted herself with shooting the basketball as well.
Go here in the front row, Jerry.
Dawn, when you got here and you were building a fan base, did you charge it, or did the school charge admission when you first got here for your games? And second, Diana was saying that you used to actually let, if people had questions, come up to the basketball office and somebody would talk to them. Could you tell a couple of stories like that? Yeah. Did you ever make house calls?
I mean, there was a discussion once. Is Charles here? Is Charles Waddell here? Charles Waddell was our sports administrator. And then he came to me and asked me if we wanted to start charging $1 admission for our game. And I'm like, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. We're not that desperate at this point. And then, you know, there were our marketing department came up with the Drive for Five. And it was in reference to my number, the number five that I wore in the Olympics. And we just played off of getting 5,000 people at our games. And we ended up averaging a little more than that. And that's when we, you know, just started getting good. The product that we put on the floor, I mean, the corner in the market with the players that are really good in South Carolina, because we had some that were not just really good in South Carolina, they were good nationally. So we started recruiting them and getting them to commit to South Carolina and then their families and everybody else. And then our fan base grew to the point where they want more, they want access. Our fans want access, you know? And so they would, I think we had an event at our office where any of our fans could come and check it out, and we show them all around our offices, and then word of mouth took over. And then they wanted to buy multiple. They don't just buy one season ticket, they buy multiple season tickets and they give it out to people who don't have it. And then once you're hooked in, you're going to buy your own, and you're going to do the same thing. And it just grew over time to now. It's, you know, I do think this is a place in which women's basketball is a priority here on all levels.
And Jerry, just to clarify, if there was a charge for tickets, they wanted to ask Coach if she wanted to lower it to $1, right?
Yep.
That's what
yes. Not yes.
It was free, and then we were gonna
no, it wasn't. It was never free.
Okay.
Yeah, it was never free.
Dick.
Dawn, how helpful is it to have a game like today that's really WrestleRama out there today and you really have to fight, knowing you still got some wars ahead of you in the tournament?
I mean, it's always great. It's always, you know, the great to be able to allow the players to make plays and to determine who wins the game. I thought the officials let us play both ways. And I mean, it probably benefited us more because we just have so much depth and we have the ability to just play that way if we need to play pretty physical. So it was a good game. It's a good game for us.
Emily.
You got Olivia in those last couple minutes there, and for her to hit that three, I mean, just what did that moment mean to kind of send her off after she stuck with it for these 4 years?
I got to tell you that every time that we put O in the game, she's like, I got to warm up. Really, like, we want her to go out there and shoot the ball, and then she'll tell us, I got to warm up. And then today, I saw her wanting to get about 5 shots up. So, I mean, it's fitting. I mean, the crowd loves her. She's done a tremendous job for our team, being a great teammate, you know, a voice in our locker room. I mean, it's only fitting that she ends it. I don't know if she hasn't said she's coming back or not. But if that's the last memory of her playing on Colonial Life Arena's floor, it's a one that she'll live to tell generations of her family.
Alan, Jovan. No, we got Phil and then Pete.
I know you got some work still to do, but as this undefeated season has progressed, you allow yourself to think at all about, there's been only 4 teams to go undefeated. You think about becoming number 5?
Not in those terms. Just about wanting to win the national championship. That's all we really think about. And at this point, we don't think about losing. We just think about what's in front of us and trying to make it to the next, you know, the next stage of this tournament.
We'll take 2 more, Pete and Beth.
I know you don't get jaded about it, but having a player like Aaliyah who sacrifices herself on defense, not even all Americans do that. I mean, that's got to be something fairly unique that you've been able to witness the past 4 years.
I mean, Aaliyah, again, simply, she just wants to win. And she does her part without complaint. Like, she does her part. I've never coached a player like a superstar like herself that is full of sacrifice, like full of it. Like, I mean, she could have easily had 30 and 15 if we really just said, hey, let's just continue to feed her. You know, but for us to be able to do what we do while she, like us working through her, like we give her the ball at the high post. I mean, she's almost like a point center. For her to dive on the floor for loose balls, you know, knowing that she's probably, you know, one step away of going to the next level and being the number one pick in the WNBA draft, you know, she's not saving herself. This is who she is. That's the culture. That's the standard that she lives by, a personal standard, you know. Because I'm telling her, don't do it. Seriously, like, because I want her to make it to the next level. I want her to be able to be as healthy as possible, not just the next level, just to finish this year out, being in the, you know, best shape, the best health that she can be.
Last question right here.
Your team seems to compartmentalize incredibly well, and I imagine that's taught from you and your experiences. And I'm wondering how you do that. I mean, like, I got choked up when O hit the 3. So, like, you know these girls, these women better than anyone, and to have so many milestones, so many big moments. How are you able to do that with so much happening that's so special right now?
For me, I just go by who's in front of me and how they deal with things. Like, I don't know if that's me. It's more probably them in the way that they are. Like, if they're just, you know, straight, narrow, I'm just going to be straight, narrow. But if they veer off a little bit, then I'm gonna try to rear off with them and get them back on the straight path. But I've never had to rear off too often. You know, every so often I'll just say, hey, this is kind of what we need to do. You know, they'll shake their heads and, you know, affirmation, and they're like, okay, we got it. And it's been truly a probably a coach's dream. I hope that every coach gets a chance to coach a team like this. Like, really, because we coach so many other teams in which, you know, they're exhausting. But this team is just, we're just about basketball. We really are. So I hope every coach gets a chance to just experience it, because even if it's just for a day, because things happen all the time. But if they can experience it, you know, they'll probably be more energized if anything else is different than, like, if anything else is different than this year. I'll feel it, but I'm appreciative of having experienced it, because not every coach experiences it at all.